morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm hoping this comes out by Tuesday. It's Monday night, so I have to really hope. I started actually recording this on Thursday, and I started reading an MCR fan fiction. But then as I read it, I realized there was a very problematic age gap, and also incest, which I didn't think that was a thing in the MCR fandom, but apparently it is, and I was not chill with that. Don't think that's very cool, especially, you know, real people. Like, I know it happens in the Supernatural fandom, and it's, like, still weird, but, like, at least they're fictional characters. Yeah, this band is real people. I don't know why we're... Anyways. It's Monday night. And, yeah, I stopped recording Thursday when I, you know, earlier in the week I was trying. And I just, like, tried to, like, research into MCR fanfictions, but, like, I couldn't find any that weren't, like, either, like, two band members shipped together or a band member shipped with an underage reader. And I was like, this is weird. Not chill. I was like, what happened to, like, the adopted by MCR? Like, I feel like there was fanfictions like that. I could not find it, and I might just read the one that was written in 2025. Actually, I was gonna start this, I was gonna start, Dr. House and Wilson fanfiction, but now that I say this out loud, why don't I just read the fanfiction? Okay, no, I don't know what it is about MCR fanfictions, but there's, like, a problematic age gap in all of them. I don't know why we start with adopted by MCR and end with dating one of the band members. But we're not going to read that on this podcast. So we're opening up a Dr. House fan fiction. Now, Dr. House is a medical drama that's freaking wild. Love the show. Used to watch it all the time when I was younger. It was great. I had to take a break because I tried watching it again in college. I watched the first episode where the patient has a stroke, and then I was convinced everywhere I walked that I was gonna suddenly get a stroke. So I had to take a break for a while because, you know. But anyways, I'm better now, and I can watch it without getting anxious or, you know, start diagnosing myself with diseases. So, great show, kind of wild. I do know how it ends, and I'm very fuzzy on all the middle parts, so I've actually started watching it again, but it's been a while. So that's what we're going into. Sorry if you're looking forward to an MCR fanfiction. I was too, but apparently they're all weird. So please email me or comment on this video. I don't check Apple podcast, but I do check Spotify, so if you comment on Spotify, I'll probably see it. If there's, like, an MCR fanfiction that's not weird. Anyways, this one is called Vicodin and Vows, parentheses, season one, so, it's by Chicken of the Noodle on Wattpad. It's pretty recent. They started writing it in April of this past year, 2025, so, yeah, pretty recent. I don't know much about it. I should probably read you the summary. He was never good at love, but Wilson was never good at walking away. I read that, and I was like, I'm sold. Dr. Gregory House has spent his entire life solving puzzles and pushing people away, but when his best friend, Dr. James Wilson, becomes the one person he can't imagine losing, everything changes. What starts as quiet glances and late-night conversations grow into a relationship neither of them expected. Through hospital halls and hospice rooms, from sarcastic jabs to soul-bearing honesty, House and Wilson build something fragile but real. Marriage, adoption, surrogacy, and even boob boob, moving in life gets messier. B-U-B-B-E. I am unfamiliar with that word. Louder and full of love they never thought they deserved. But now, years later, with four kids, a failing body, and a hotel bathroom drenched in grief, House is forced to face a truth even he can't deny. Sometimes, the greatest diagnosis is just letting someone in. A story of love, loss, late night Gordon Ramsay, and refusing to give up even when life hurts like hell. I mean, come on, that sounds amazing. I am super excited for it. I'm going to try to do this all in one take, which means no editing on my part. So the goal is to record this and then hit export and then upload it. So if you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, you'll know that I did a good job. If this was not posted on Tuesday, then I don't know. I'm sorry, past Christine. All right, here we go. Chapter 1, The Quiet. The hospital hallways were quieter than usual as Dr. Gregory House walked briskly towards the exit, his cane tapping rhythmically against the polished floor. He paused at the door to the stairwell, glancing back to make sure Dr. James Wilson, his best friend, was close behind. They had just wrapped up another long, grueling day, both physically drained from the case they just finished, but the work wasn't over, not for them. Wilson was still walking a little slower, though. He was recovering from his cancer, but there were days when the past felt too close, when the memories of his illness crept back into his thoughts. It was moments like this, quiet, fleeting, that reminded House how precious their time together was. They'd almost lost it. Wilson caught up to him, offering a tired but genuine smile. "You ready to go home?" His voice was soft, no longer the lighthearted chirp it used to be. The past year had changed them both, but Wilson had changed in ways that House couldn't quite explain, even to himself. "I'd rather stay here and run some tests on you," House quipped, though it lacked its usual bite. His eyes softened at the look Wilson gave him, a combination of amusement and exhaustion. Wilson didn't respond, but he knew the truth. There was nothing House loved more than the chaos of diagnosing, but tonight, they both needed rest. House turned back towards the stairs, dragging himself up the first few steps with the familiar weight of the world on his shoulders. They hadn't discussed the vacation in any great detail. It was supposed to be a break, a relief from the constant tension, the constant strain of life. It had been a much-needed escape for Wilson, one he hadn't known he needed until the cancer had finally passed. For House, it was a forced time to confront his own reality, his own fears, a reality where Wilson could die, or worse, where they would just drift apart. It had been hard, but somehow they'd made it through. Wilson followed closely, and as they reached the top of the stairs, he reached out and touched House's shoulder lightly. The gesture was simple, yet it carried all the weight of their years together. "I'm glad you're back," Wilson said quietly, not needing to elaborate. He didn't need to explain how much those weeks of being apart had made him realize just how much he needed House, needed this, needed their life together. House didn't say anything for a long moment, but his eyes softened when he finally looked at Wilson. "Me too." The words came out almost as a whisper, but they were more real than anything he had said in weeks. They reached the car, and House slid into the driver's seat, his usual cocky demeanor almost absent, his hands tense on the wheel. Wilson settled into the passenger seat, a slight but contented smile tugging at the corners of his lips. They hadn't yet discussed what had happened during the vacation, how Wilson had spent days trying to heal and find himself again, and how House had quietly stayed beside him even when Wilson hadn't asked for it. He had been there, in ways that were hard for either of them to fully express. That unspoken truth was something House wasn't ready to touch yet, and Wilson wasn't about to push him. As House started the engine, the hum of the car filled the air, and Wilson glanced over at him. "Home?" Wilson asked, already knowing the answer. "Yeah," House replied, the word sounding heavier than it should. "I guess that's where we're going." He shifted the car into gear, and they drove in silence, the weight of their shared journey hanging in the air between them. There was no need for more words. They both knew the significance of what was happening. They were home, together, and that was all that mattered, at least for now. As they pulled into the driveway, Wilson couldn't help but feel a sense of peace settle over him. It had been a long road to get to this point, but now it was just them. The world outside seemed so far away, even though they knew their lives were about to shift once again. When House parked the car and turned off the engine, he stayed there for a few moments. He didn't move, didn't speak. Wilson looked over at him, waiting. His friend wasn't someone who could be rushed, either by life or by people, so Wilson waited. Finally, House broke the silence with a faint smirk, one that Wilson had grown used to. "You know, I think I can get used to this whole vacation thing," House muttered, almost under his breath. Wilson chuckled softly, shaking his head. "You'd say that," he replied. House's eyes met his, the usual mischief replaced by something deeper, something more honest. "I'm not sure I know what to do with all the time I now have with you," he said quietly, his voice a little softer than usual. Wilson didn't need to respond. Instead, he reached over and placed a hand on House's, a slight declaration of the life they had built together and the life they were still building. It was imperfect, flawed in ways that no one else would understand, but it was theirs. And that, Wilson realized, was enough. "Let's go inside," Wilson said, squeezing House's hand lightly. "We've got a life to get back to." House gave a small nod, and for once, he didn't argue, didn't joke. He just nodded in agreement, reaching for the door handle. As they stepped out into the cool night air, Wilson realized that the road ahead was still uncertain, but he knew, without a doubt, that they would face it together. The sound of the front door closing softly behind them echoed through the house, the familiar click of the lock settling into place. Wilson stood still for a moment, taking in the quiet, the peaceful rhythm of home. For a second, everything felt normal, ordinary even, but as he glanced over at House, who was already making his way towards the kitchen, something stirred deep inside him, something that had been building for a while but hadn't fully taken shape yet. He wasn't sure when it had started. Maybe it was in the moments when House had stayed by his side during his treatment, his usual sarcasm laced with something softer, more genuine. Maybe it was the quiet nights spent in the hospital room, the small, almost imperceptible touches, like when House had gently adjusted Wilson's IV line or brought him coffee just the way he liked it, despite his usual disdain for hospital routines. But now, back in their shared space, it hit him all at once. House had always been there for him, in his own impossible, flawed way, and Wilson realized that he had been slowly but surely falling for him, but not just as his best friend. No, this was deeper. This was something that defined the lines of their friendship, their professional relationship, their shared history. Wilson wasn't sure how he felt about it. The realization was both terrifying and comforting. He had always been the one to care for others, to offer his support, but now he wasn't sure if he was just looking for someone to save him or if he had already been saved. Maybe it was just the aftermath of everything they had been through, the cancer, the remission, the return to normalcy, but there was a pull he couldn't deny. He swallowed hard, pushing the thought away as House called him from the kitchen, his voice sharp but laced with a touch of something else, maybe concern, maybe something more. "You coming?" House's voice broke through Wilson's thoughts, snapping him back to the present. Wilson didn't answer right away, standing there for a few moments longer, his mind racing. There was so much he had to consider, so much he wasn't sure of. What did it mean to feel this way about House? Was it the lingering effects of everything they had been through together? Or was it something real? Shaking his head slightly, Wilson made his way towards the kitchen, taking a deep breath. When he stepped through the doorway, he found House sitting at the counter, his cane propped against the table beside him. The other man was staring into space, his usual facade of bravado gone, replaced by something more human. Wilson leaned against the doorframe, watching him for a moment. "You okay?" House looked up at him, his expression softening slightly. "Just thinking." He met Wilson's eyes, the usual sarcasm absent. "You know, it's weird to be back. Things feel off. Like we're pretending to be normal again, and it doesn't fit." He paused, his gaze shifting to the floor, his fingers tapping rhythmically on the countertop. Wilson felt a pang in his chest, something tugging at him. He was always so used to taking care of others, to be the one who fixed things, but now here he was, standing in front of the one person who had been with him through thick and thin, and felt as though he was the one that needed fixing. "You're right," Wilson replied quietly, pushing himself off the doorframe to cross the kitchen and sit down beside House. "It's hard to get back to normal after everything that's happened, but we'll figure it out." For a moment, neither of them spoke. House's eyes wandered back to the counter, and Wilson found himself staring at him, caught between wanting to say something and not knowing how to articulate it. He wasn't sure what he was feeling, but it was something far more than friendship, something far more than what he had expected. "House," Wilson finally muttered, the words slipping out before he could stop them. "Do you ever wonder if this everything is more than what we think it is?" His voice faltered slightly as he spoke, the vulnerability leaking into his words before he could catch it. House tilted his head slightly, raising an eyebrow. You mean the fact that we're both insane, or the fact that we're pretending to be normal? He leaned back in his chair, eyeing Wilson carefully. Wilson shook his head, his heart pounding. No, I mean, us, what we've been through. Is it just something we're used to, or is it something more? He knew he was treading dangerous waters, but he couldn't hold it in any longer. House seemed to consider the question for a long moment. His eyes flickered briefly to Wilson, and for a fleeting second, there was something there, something unspoken. But House didn't answer immediately. Instead, he shifted in his chair, picking up his cane and tapping it against the floor, his usual nonchalance returning. Is this one of those we're supposed to have a heart-to-heart moments? House finally asked, a touch of sarcasm in his voice. Wilson couldn't help but smile at the way House was deflecting with humor. But it didn't change the truth. Wilson knew deep down that this was the beginning of something. Something he wasn't sure he was ready for, but something he knew he had been brewing for a long time. It could be, Wilson replied, his voice quieter now, his eyes never leaving House's. I don't know, I need to know that we're not just stuck in this cycle. That we're not just two guys who happen to live together and pretend everything's fine. House's eyes softened as he studied Wilson for a moment longer, the playful mask slipping slightly. Maybe we're not pretending anymore, Wilson. The words hung in the air between them, heavy with meaning. Wilson didn't know what the future held. He didn't know if his feelings for House were something that could survive the weight of their history, or if it would all come crashing down around them. But at that moment, he realized something he hadn't truly allowed himself to admit before. He had feelings for House, more than just the friendship they'd built over the years. And he wasn't sure what to do with them. But maybe, just maybe, he didn't have to figure it out all alone. House leaned forward then, placing his cane against the counter and resting his hands on his knees. His eyes flicked towards Wilson, and for a split second, something akin to understanding passed between them. How about we take this one step at a time, huh? House said quietly. We've been through worse. We can handle this. Wilson swallowed hard, nodding. Yeah, one step at a time. As the two men sat in silence, the weight of unspoken emotions settled over them. Neither knew what the future would bring, but they knew they would face it together, however uncertain it was. And that, for now, was enough. That's the end of chapter one. I forgot to check how many chapters we have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Wow, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Oh my gosh, I think we have got about 40. Let's see if we can get through the first three chapters today. This is a Prescription for Love, Chapter 2. The silence between them stretched for a few moments, comfortable but laced with the tension of unsaid words. House tapped his cane against the floor, the sound echoing through the kitchen as if marking the passage of time. Wilson, still seated beside him, finally broke the quiet. You're right, you know, he said, his voice calm but tinged with a trace of worry. We can take it one step at a time. We've been through worse. House's lips curled into a familiar smirk, but there was something different about it, something a little less cocky, a little more resigned. Sure, House muttered, leaning back in his chair. We've survived everything from near-death experiences to the world's worst patients. What's a little emotional turmoil between friends? Wilson raised an eyebrow, a soft chuckle escaping him. He knew House liked to deflect with humor, but there was always an edge of truth beneath it. The real question was this something House was willing to admit? And more importantly, what did Wilson even expect from this whole conversation? So, I take it you've been thinking about this too? Wilson ventured, his voice quiet, probing. House's eyes flicked towards him for just a moment and then back to the counter. His voice dropped a little, sounding almost tired. I don't know how we're supposed to beat the gay allegations, Wilson. This isn't a 12-step program. It's not like we can go through the motions and come out the other side unscathed. Wilson blinked, the words hitting him harder than he expected. He hadn't considered how much this could weigh on House. Of course, House never seemed to care what people thought of him, but maybe there was something more to it. A deeper fear he wasn't willing to show. House, Wilson started, but House cut him off before he can say any more. No, listen, House continued, his voice low and almost serious. People are always looking for something to pick apart, and no matter how much you and I pretend we're just two guys who happen to live together, who happen to care about each other, people won't buy it. They'll always wonder. Hell, they'll be waiting for us to slip up, to make a mistake, to give them an excuse to jump to conclusions. Wilson's heart sank a little. He hadn't thought about it that way, not really. The weight of the world pressing in from all angles was something House had dealt with in silence, but now it was impossible to ignore. "You don't think we could just be?" Wilson asked, his voice barely a whisper. "Just live our lives without worrying about labels or what other people think?" House's lips twisted into something that wasn't quite a smile.
"Wouldn't that be nice?" he muttered briefly. "But no, Wilson, the world doesn't work like that. They love their labels, their neat little boxes. They'll never see us for what we are, for what we've built, without questioning our every move."
Wilson opened his mouth to argue, to try and comfort him, but he stopped himself. The truth was, House had a point. They had both lived their lives under a microscope for years, under suspicion for countless things. House for his unconventional methods and snark, Wilson for his compassion, his devotion, his own vulnerabilities. Now that suspicion could turn on them both in a completely different way. "That doesn't mean we have to conform to what they think we should be," Wilson finally said, a new resolve settling in his chest. "We've always been us, imperfect and flawed. If the world has a problem with that, it's their issue, not ours." House didn't respond at first, his fingers drumming absently on his cane. Finally, he gave Wilson a look, a brief, fleeting glance that held something softer than usual.
"You really think that would work? Just tell everyone to screw off and hope they take it well?"
Wilson leaned forward, their faces just inches apart now. His voice dropped to a softer, almost vulnerable tone. "I think we've spent so much time pretending to be what people want us to be. Maybe it's time we just stopped. We don't need their approval, House, not for what we've got." House's eyes softened, but he said nothing for a long moment. It wasn't that he didn't care about Wilson. He did, deeply. It wasn't that he didn't want to make things work. It was the fear of how others would perceive them that ate at him.
"You know," House said finally, breaking the silence, "I spent my entire life pushing people away, convinced I didn't need anyone. But the one person I could never push far enough away was you."
He paused, his eyes meeting Wilson with a sincerity that he rarely showed.
"And now, I'm afraid that maybe we've just gone too far to stop."
Wilson swallowed hard, his throat tight as he tried to process House's words, but before he could speak, House cut him off with a quiet, almost defeated laugh.
"Yeah, I know, I'm probably overthinking it. What's new, right?"
Wilson let the laughter pass, feeling the weight of the conversation settle in. "House, we've been through worse, much worse, and somehow we've always come out the other side. Maybe it's time we stop overthinking things and just be us." House gave him a sidelong glance, a small smile tugging at the corner of his lips.
"You and your damn optimism."
Wilson smiled back, despite the heaviness that hung between them. "Hey, someone's gotta be the hopeful one." For a moment, neither of them spoke. The weight of the conversation, of their shared history, pressed in around them. There were no grand solution, no easy fix to the complexities of their relationship, but in that quiet moment, the simple truth was that they were in this together, whatever this turned out to be.
"So," House finally said, leaning back in his chair, "we're not going to beat the gay allegations, but we don't need to, right?"
Wilson chuckled softly, relieved to hear the familiar deflection in House's voice. "Nope, we don't. We're just us." House nodded, settling into the easy rhythm of their shared understanding.
"Yeah, us. With all the dysfunction, sarcasm, and occasional emotional breakdowns. What's not to love?"
Wilson smirked, shaking his head. "Nothing, House. Nothing at all." And for the first time in a long time, they both felt like they might be able to figure this out, whatever it was, together. The silence between them deepened. No longer uncomfortable, but reflective, as if they were both processing the weight of everything they had been through together. It had been a long road, a road paved with both unimaginable hardship and moments of tenderness, sometimes hidden beneath layers of sarcasm and deflection, but they had survived it all. And now, here they were, living in a world where the lines between them had blurred in ways neither of them could quite define. Wilson's eyes wandered over to House, his gaze softening as memories of the past few months washed over him. He thought about the cancer diagnosis, the remission, the quiet desperation they both felt when faced with the possibility of losing each other. It felt like a lifetime ago, though it had only been a few months since Wilson had returned to work, his body still fragile but healing. They'd come through the darkness together. He thought about the time they had spent away, Wilson's cancer vacation, as House liked to call it, when everything had been uncertain, when he had gone through the motions, unsure of how much time they had left, unsure if he would ever get back to normal. The days were long, filled with treatments and waiting, and through it all, House had been there. not always the perfect version of himself, but always there. And now, after all of that, here they were, sitting in House's living room, not much different from how it had been before, except now, something had shifted. House caught his gaze, and for the first time, there was no sarcasm, no walls up, just a raw vulnerability in his eyes that Wilson had rarely seen.
"Do you ever think about what could have been if things were different?" House asked, his voice quieter than usual.
It was a question Wilson had asked himself many times during those dark months, wondering if their relationship could survive the things they had been through. Wilson swallowed, then nodded, his heart heavy in the memory of those days when every moment felt like it could be their last.
"All the time," he replied softly, "but I try not to regret it. We didn't have control over what happened, but we had control over how we got through it."
House was quiet for a moment, and then he gave a short, almost bitter laugh.
"You make it sound so simple."
Wilson shrugged, a small smile tugging at the corner of his lips.
"It's not simple, but it's better than the alternative. I think we've been through the worst of it."
House's eyes locked onto his, the familiar walls that House had carefully constructed over the years, slowly falling away, revealing something raw, something Wilson had been desperate to see. The real House. The House who was willing to show vulnerability, even if it meant exposed. Wilson took a slow breath, his chest tightening. This was it. The moment he'd been waiting for, the moment he knew deep down would come, but he hadn't allowed himself to fully hope for. They had been to hell and back, but here, now, they were finally facing something new, something real, something that could break them apart or bring them closer. Without a word, Wilson reached out and placed his hand gently on House's arm, the contact almost hesitant, like he was afraid to break the fragile moment between them. He studied House's face, the way his jaw tightened, the way his eyes flickered from Wilson's gaze to his lips and back again. Wilson knew it was coming. It had been building for so long. House took a deep breath, his lips parting as if to say something, but Wilson didn't wait. He leaned forward, closing the distance between them, his lips brushing against House's in a kiss that was soft, hesitant at first, as if both of them were afraid of what it might mean. But then, as if some unspoken tension snapped between them, it deepened, a quiet, desperate admission of everything they had been too scared to say before. Wilson felt his heart beat faster as he pulled House closer, his hand shifting from his arm to the back of his neck, fingers tangling in the short, familiar hair. There was no immediate rush, no urgency, just a slow, quiet affirmation of everything that had built up between them over the years. It was the kind of kiss that needed no words, the kind that spoke volumes without ever being said. When they finally broke apart, it was almost reluctant, both of them still catching their breath. House's eyes were wide, his face flushed, and for the first time, he looked completely disarmed, like Wilson had managed to peel away the armor House had spent so long building. "That was..." House started, his voice thick, trailing off as if he couldn't find the words. Wilson smiled softly, his hand still resting on House's cheek.
"I know."
House swallowed, his throat working as if he were trying to say something else, but instead he gave a small, almost imperceptible nod.
"You're really doing this, huh?"
he asked, his voice quieter now, the sarcasm back, but softer. Wilson nodded, a faint chuckle escaping him.
"Yeah, I think so." "I'll probably regret this," House muttered, but there was no bitterness in his words. Instead, there was a vulnerability, a realness, that Wilson wasn't sure he had ever seen before.
"Maybe," Wilson said with a gentle smile, leaning in again to place another soft kiss on his lips. "But at least we're figuring out together, right?" House didn't respond, but the look he gave Wilson, half amused, half softened, spoke volumes. The kind of look that said he was scared, but willing to try, willing to take the leap, even if it meant falling. The past had shaped them, the fear, the challenges, the pain, and it all brought them to this moment. But what mattered now was what they chose to do with the future, what they chose to build together. For the first time, it didn't seem so terrifying, because no matter what happened, they knew one thing for sure. They would face it together. All right, we are on chapter 3, the last chapter of the day. If I sound a little bit different, I adjusted my microphone just a little bit. Anyways, chapter 3, diagnosis, tension. The next morning I arrived with the same soft morning light spilling through the blinds of House's office. He was still in the same old routine, though a little more slowly than usual, gripping his cane as he limped into the clinic, the weight of the world pressing on him in ways that didn't seem to let up. It was like a dull hum in the background, the tension between him and Wilson radiating through the air like static. While he could usually drown out everything with his sarcasm and sharp wit, there was no ignoring it today. The events of last night, of the kiss, were playing on a loop in his mind. He didn't know how to move past it yet. He wasn't even sure if he wanted to.
He barely spared Wilson a glance as he entered the office. Wilson had been at the office early, of course, already in his usual spot, sorting through paperwork with an air of normalcy that didn't match how House was feeling. It felt like they were standing on opposite sides of a massive chasm, one neither of them was quite willing to cross yet. Wilson looked up when House entered, offering a warm smile. "Hey," he greeted, trying his best to keep the tone light. "Hey," Wilson responded, settling his cane down with a little more force than necessary. He glanced over at Wilson, noting the way his colleague was so obviously trying to act like everything was fine. His lips twitched, but he didn't smile. "Still acting like the model employee, I see." Wilson's eyes flicked to House for just a second too long before he quickly went back to shuffling papers. "Someone has to, right?" It wasn't meant to be a jab, but House knew there was a subtle change hidden in Wilson's words. There was always something there when it came to Wilson, something unspoken, something that hinted at a deeper understanding between them. Something that had changed last night. House sat down in his office chair, leaning back and rolling his shoulders, his mind too clouded to focus on anything but the empty space between them. He instinctively reached for his bottle of Vicodin, the bottle always within arm's reach, but as he twisted the cap open, he hesitated. The pill was a familiar comfort, but not enough to block out the thoughts swirling his head. "I was thinking," Wilson said suddenly, breaking the silence, "maybe we could grab lunch after this? I mean, it's been a while since we, you know, caught up." House didn't respond right away, but he could tell Wilson was trying to act normal, trying to fix whatever was broken. They both knew it wasn't that simple, but House couldn't blame him. Hell, House didn't know how to act either. "Yeah," House muttered, popping a pill into his mouth without looking at Wilson. "If by catching up you mean talking about how great the weather is, sure, lunch sounds awesome." Wilson's smile faltered just for a moment before he plastered it back on. "Right, so, I guess you want to jump back into things, huh? Back into the old routine? Save the world one patient at a time?" House looked at him then, his eyes softening just a fraction. He wanted to say something, wanted to explain how this wasn't just about getting back into the routine, how things were different now, but the words stuck in his throat. Before he can answer, Foreman, Chase, and Cameron burst into the room, eager and slightly overenthusiastic to have House back. The tension between them didn't seem to register, at least not in the way House could feel it. They were too excited to see their boss again, too eager to dive into the case they'd been working on in his absence. "Dr. House, you're back," Foreman greeted, practically bouncing on his heels. House raised an eyebrow, his usual sardonic edge returning.
"Try not to get too emotional, Foreman. I'm still technically on my break."
Cameron, not missing a beat, added, "Well, we're glad to have you back, no matter how grumpy you are."
"Grumpy is my default setting," House quipped, leaning back in his chair and scanning the medical charts in front of him.
But as his eyes flickered from one chart to another, he noticed something he hadn't expected. Wilson wasn't looking at him in the same way anymore. Their brief conversation from earlier, the one where House had deliberately avoided saying anything significant, hung in the air, but Wilson wasn't looking at him with that familiar warmth anymore. He was being polite, professional, yes, but there was a distance there. Wilson was pulling away.
"Anything new on the patient?" House asked, his tone still sharp, but the question was more for himself than anyone else.
He was avoiding looking at Wilson, unwilling to acknowledge the complicated mess that had been created between them in the last 24 hours. As the team dove into the details of the case, Wilson remained quiet. Every time House spoke, his eyes flicked towards him, and for a split second there was that brief tension again, something unresolved, something unsaid hanging over them. But House was good at ignoring things, at keeping the walls up. The case itself was relatively straightforward, a young woman with puzzling symptoms. They had narrowed down some possibilities, and House knew the team would work themselves to the ground trying to figure it out. But House wasn't focused on the patient. His mind kept returning to Wilson. To the weight of his absence, to the way Wilson had retreated into himself. There was a softness in Wilson's eyes when he spoke to House, something that hinted at the raw honesty he had tried to convey the night before. Wilson wasn't pretending anymore. As the day wore on, the tension between them didn't go unnoticed. The team kept glancing between House and Wilson, their subtle exchanges betraying the quiet discomfort. Foreman raised an eyebrow at Cameron, who gave him a subtle shrug as if to say, "Don't ask, don't tell." Finally, when the team stepped out of the room to run some tests, House remained behind in his office, deliberately taking his time to avoid the inevitable conversation. But Wilson was waiting for him when he finally made his way back into the bullpen, sitting at his desk with his hands folded, staring at a file. "You know," Wilson said, his voice low, almost hesitant,
This isn't just about work, Greg. House froze. It wasn't a question. It wasn't even an accusation. It was a statement. One that carried with it a weight House hadn't expected. Wilson stood up and walked over to the house, his eyes never leaving him. I can't pretend nothing happened. I can't just go back to how things were, pretending like everything's fine. House's breath hitched in his chest, and for a moment he wondered if this was the breaking point. Was Wilson about to pull away entirely? Was this the moment where their relationship, whatever it was, would shatter? But then Wilson's hand rested on his shoulder, just for a brief moment, grounding him. I'm not asking for answers, Greg, Wilson continued softly. I just need you to know that I'm not going anywhere. Not again. House's gaze dropped, his lips parted as if he were about to speak, but the words didn't come. His throat felt tight, his chest heavy, and for once he didn't have a sharp remark or a witty comeback. Instead, he just nodded. Just barely. All right, he muttered, his voice barely above a whisper. They both stood there in the quiet of the room, the unspoken words hanging in the air between them. For just a moment, the world outside disappeared, leaving just the two of them, standing on the edge of something they both knew would change forever. And neither of them knew how to take the first step. House and Wilson stood in the near silence of the office, the weight of their unspoken words hanging in the air like fog. House could feel his heartbeat thudding in his chest, the reality of the situation pressing in on him from all sides. Wilson's hand lingered on his shoulder, warm and grounding, but also felt like a tether, pulling House into a space between them, a space that had grown too close to ignore. Wilson shifted, breaking the stillness just enough to speak, his voice low but steady. I'm not expecting you to figure it all out right now, Greg. I just want you to know I'm not backing away. His hand slipped from House's shoulder, and House felt a pang of loss at the absence of that touch. House opened his mouth to say something, anything, but the words caught in his throat. He wasn't sure what he was supposed to say. He wasn't even sure what he wanted. The kiss the night before, the rawness of it, had left him feeling exposed in a way that only Wilson could manage to do. But there was a fear there, too. Fear of the unknown. Fear of losing control. Fear of letting go. He finally muttered, "You should have backed away." It wasn't harsh, just tired. An honest admission. Wilson's expression softened, his features shifting into something close to sympathy, but there was something else there too, something quiet but firm, like he was refusing to accept House's usual walls. I don't think I can, not this time. Wilson's gaze didn't waver, his eyes earnest, unwavering. We've both been through too much, Greg. I'm not backing down now. House stared at him, unsure how to process the words. His mind was racing, spinning through the memories of their past. The fights, the unspoken words, the moments of connection that always seemed to slip away before either of them could grasp them. But now, Wilson was there, was here, standing in front of him, really here in a way House wasn't used to. No avoidance, no casual detachment. Wilson took a step closer, his voice softening, almost apologetic. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Hell, I know it's probably going to be a mess, but I want us to figure it out, together. House's chest tightened. He didn't want to admit how much the idea of together was starting to sound like the thing he might actually want. For years, he'd kept his distance, afraid to get close to anyone. The fear of losing control, of letting someone in, had always won out. But now it didn't seem like enough to hold him back. He finally lifted his gaze to Wilson's, a flicker of something vulnerable in his eyes. What if it's too late? The question slipped out before he could stop it, the doubt clear in his voice. Wilson's lips quick to a soft smile, one that didn't feel forced. It's never too late, Greg. His voice was calm but resolute, his words cutting through the fog of doubt that House had built up around him over the years. House's breath hitched slightly, and for a brief moment he just stood there, his mind whirling. His natural instinct was to resist, to fight against whatever feeling he was starting to identify. But with Wilson here, standing so close and so steady, something inside him shifted. It wasn't just about what they had been, or what they might have lost. It was about what they could be. Before he knew it, he was moving, stepping into Wilson's space. He didn't know what he was doing, only that he couldn't stand the tension any longer, the distance that had grown between them both physically and emotionally. Wilson met him halfway, and just like that, there was no more hesitation. This time, the kiss was different. It wasn't frantic or desperate, but it was laden with meaning, heavy with the weight of everything unsaid. House's hands forced their way to Wilson's arms, gripping him tightly, as if afraid he might disappear. Wilson's arms circled around House's back, pulling him in close, grounding him. When they pulled apart, both of them breathing a little more heavily, House couldn't help but let out a small, wry chuckle. "Well," he said, his voice hoarse, "that was something." Wilson's smile was soft but genuine, a quiet laugh escaping his lips. Yeah, I guess it was. The tension that had plagued them all day seemed to dissipate, replaced by something that was still uncertain, still a little fragile, but no longer suffocating. There was still a lot to figure out, a lot of mess to navigate, but for the first time in a long time, House didn't feel like he had to carry it all alone. We should probably get back to work, House said after a beat, his voice low, but not unkind. Yeah, Wilson replied, his hand briefly brushing against House's arm as they walked back towards the rest of the team. But maybe we could take a minute, you know, talk later? House met his eyes, feeling a little lighter than he had in a while. I think we're due for a real conversation, yeah. As they re-entered the bullpen, the team was in the middle of discussing the latest test results. The noise and bustle of the office seemed a little less overwhelming than it had before, and for once, House didn't mind the chaos. With Wilson by his side, maybe it was possible to face it all, to navigate this new reality that they were creating, step by step. They didn't have all the answers, and they sure as hell didn't have a clear path forward, but for the first time, it didn't seem so important. Not anymore. The day would go on, the cases would pile up, and life would continue, but now it felt like maybe they could figure it out together. As House and Wilson re-entered the bullpen, the usual chatter and bustle of the office continued, but there was something different in the air. The team, ever observant of the dynamic between House and Wilson, exchanged curious glances. They had seen their fair share of tension between the two over the years, but today it felt different, like something had shifted, though no one could quite put a finger on it. Did they? Cameron started, her voice trailing off as she glanced at Chase, who was equally unsure, brows furrowed in confusion. I don't know, Chase replied, looking at House and Wilson as they made their way to their respective desks. But something's definitely different. Foreman, ever the realist, shrugged. They've been weird for a while now, but this is new. He turned to look at House and Wilson, noticing how they were standing a little closer than usual, how their body language, though still guarded, was more open. Something's up. Cameron leaned back in her chair, arms crossed as she watched the two men settle in. They're not usually this in sync. It's like they're pretending everything's normal, but we can all tell it's not. Yeah, Chase agreed. It's like they're speaking in code or something. Wilson's been a little off lately, too. He glanced at the door, as though expecting to see someone come in and spill the beans, but the office remained as it always had, cluttered with medical charts, patient files, and the constant hum of activity. Do you think something happened between them, outside of work? Foreman snorted, turning to look at them both. You think they've been on a secret rendezvous, having heart-to-hearts and all that? We know that there was something going on, or at least we would. He paused, then muttered, or would we? I wouldn't be surprised, Cameron muttered, eyes narrowing as she observed the way House was avoiding making eye contact with them all. I mean, they've been through so much together, and Wilson's been, well, different. Since his remission, I think. She hesitated. Her voice softened a bit. Or maybe he's ready to take a step forward? Or maybe House is? Chase shook his head. I don't know. They sure as hell aren't giving us any answers. He turned to look back at House, who was rifling through his desk, muttering to himself under his breath. Wilson, too, seemed to be keeping his distance, typing up some notes on a patient file. They were trying to appear normal, but the small, subtle shifts between them were not lost on the team. Wilson glanced over at House, catching his eye for just a moment. The brief exchange of looks, more like a silent understanding than anything overt, was enough for the team to catch on. You know, Cameron started thoughtfully, tapping her pen against the desk. I've seen this before, not the whole romantic tension thing, but definitely the I'm pretending this is just banter phase. It's like they're both afraid to admit that something's changed, or they're scared to name it. Wilson's phone buzzed and he glanced at the screen quickly, but House didn't seem to notice, or maybe he did. He rarely showed it, but House had a talent for picking up on the smallest things, the way Wilson's face softened when he looked at him, the way his posture shifted ever so slightly when he wasn't sure what to say. Maybe it's not our business, Foreman said, rubbing the back of his neck, but whatever's happening, it's more than just old pals bantering. There's something else. Maybe we're just too close to see it clearly. Cameron nodded slowly, but what if it's exactly what we think it is? What, are they getting together? Chase asked incredulously. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to have that conversation. Could be, Cameron replied, her tone speculative. I mean, look at how they act around each other. There's always been something there, right? The office fell into an uneasy silence as the team watched House and Wilson attempt to act like things were completely fine, but the air between them was thick with unspoken words. House, ever the master of deflection, was keeping himself occupied with his desk, while Wilson seemed to be distracted, glancing at House every now and then as though waiting for something to happen. "Do you think Wilson will finally say something?" Cameron asked, her voice a little softer, a touch of curiosity slipping into it.
"Wilson?" Chase repeated, raising an eyebrow. "He's been saying a lot lately, but I don't know if it's enough to break through House's defenses." He smirked slightly. "Or if House even wants to break through them."
"Don't be so sure," Foreman said quietly. "House doesn't show it, but I think he wants more. It's the way he looks at Wilson when he thinks no one's watching. It's in the little things, how he stands just a little closer, how his tone softens when he talks to him."
"I think they've been circling this for a while now," Cameron added, glancing over at Wilson, who was still looking at House with the same quiet intensity. "Whatever they're dealing with, it's been building for years." They all felt silent again, each of them lost in their own thoughts as they observed the two men across the room. After a few minutes, Wilson stood, gathering up a pile of patient files. His gaze flickered to House, and just for a brief moment, their eyes met again. The moment was fleeting, but it held more meaning than it seemed at first. It was as if they were communicating without words, a subtle understanding that, despite the mess of everything, they were still here, still standing side by side. House didn't say anything as Wilson walked past, but when Wilson was almost out of the room, House looked up, his voice low and cutting through the air with that familiar edge.
"Just so you know, I'm not going to hold your hand in public. Don't get any ideas."
Wilson smirked, the hint of a laugh tugging at his lips. "Wouldn't dream of it," he said, his voice light, as though there was something deeper behind it. "A promise, maybe." House rolled his eyes, but there was no biting sarcasm in his tone.
"Good, because there's no way I'm playing into your romantic fantasies." His voice softened just a fraction, something vulnerable in the way he spoke. "You're the last person I'm going to do that for."
Wilson smiled as he exited the room, the smallest trace of satisfaction on his face. For the first time in a long while, House's words didn't feel like an armor. They felt like a declaration. Maybe not the one Wilson has hoped for, but something that still carried weight. The team exchanged a series of looks, half confused, half knowing. They didn't have all the answers, but one thing was clear, something had shifted. And whether they liked it or not, it was going to be impossible to ignore. All right, those are the first three chapters of our book. I don't have my glasses on, so I actually cannot see how long we've been recording. But I believe it's a shorter episode this time, so I do apologize for that. I thank you for your patience ahead of time. Starting in October, we're going to switch to once a week. I'm thinking we're going to keep Tuesdays. So what will happen is I'll still post this Friday, next Tuesday, and Friday, and then we're going Tuesdays. So, five more episodes this month? Yeah, that sounds good. I feel like I was doing twice a week just so I could bank up enough, so it, you know, I don't know, it looked good. I feel like I have enough episodes going on now that I can switch to once a week, hour-long episodes. I feel like that's a good goal to have. Anyways, y'all have a wonderful night. I am not going to edit this. I feel like I did pretty good of not having dead air. So I hope that's true. And if not, thank y'all for being so patient. Y'all have a wonderful night, and I will see you next time.